Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymeer Church of Christ.
I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 13, 1 through 9. The same day when Jesus out of house and set by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and set, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon thorny places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, beginning because they had no deepness of the earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorn, and the thorn sprung up and choked them. But other fell onto good ground and brought forth fruit, some in hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears, let him hear.
Over the last couple of years, as we've had a yearly theme to begin each year and to sort of help us focus, we've also had a passage each month that we've tried to focus on. And as Jerry already mentioned in our prayers, appreciated so much that prayer, as we think about increasing in many different areas God would have us increase, we begin this morning and for this month with a special focus on increasing our faith. And there's a passage in Luke 17, in verse 5, where the apostles are struck by Jesus' teaching and by the warnings about the importance of following Him and not causing others to stumble. And they make this statement. And so if you would, let's read this together, Luke 17, 5. If you would, read it with me. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. That's our goal for this month especially. Hopefully that's a goal for our entire lives, but especially this month, we're going to be thinking about how we can increase our faith. And so our adult Bible classes, as well as our youth group class, will be focused on following up on each one of these lessons. And so we'll have one of the parables in Matthew 13 that we focus on here. And then in class, we'll focus on how that principle is seen in Jesus' ministry. Once upon a time, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Long, long ago, in a galaxy far, far away, you understand when you hear one of these openings, you're beginning a story. You're being invited in to a story. And the same thing is true when Jesus will make statements like, the kingdom of heaven is like. You know you're beginning one of Jesus' stories. These particular kinds of stories are a little bit different than what you or I might think of. But as soon as Jesus would begin, they would understand the purpose of what he was doing. Because Jesus, when he spoke in parables, had a specific purpose. He was teaching principles that were very important, but doing it in a very creative way and in really a unique way. That not only caused you to be struck by what is he saying, and I wonder where the story is going, but also caused you to say, I need to work to understand what this means. And so when we get to Matthew chapter 13, there are a lot of these stories in a row, a lot of these parables that teach us about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is too big and vast for us to understand with just one figure of speech or just one word, and so Jesus tells a lot of parables. And over the next few weeks, we're going to begin these stories together. the passage we just read that begins, "A sower went out to sow." As Jesus tells this story, he does something that parables usually do. Not only do they uncover a spiritual truth, but they also provoke further thought. If you're a teacher, and I know we have many teachers here, you know that part of the learning process is helping the learners be active, be involved in it. And so you don't necessarily just throw out a lot of information and expect them to retain it all. You come up with ways to involve them in the process. And what parables do is involve the listeners, or in our case, the readers, in the process. You don't always get step by step what every part of the parable means. In fact, in some ways, it's almost like telling a riddle. Because if you really want to understand it, you've got to be active and you've got to learn. Now, what's interesting about this particular parable is that this parable is given an explanation by Jesus. There aren't many that have those kinds of explanations, but this one does. For most of them, we're left trying to understand in the context of what's happened in Scripture and in the context of what Jesus has taught, let's make sure I understand what this means. In other words, if we think of bedtime stories that kind of relax us and help us get ready to go to sleep, these are the opposite. They're stories that jolt us out of our current reality and force us to think about tough things, about hard things, and to think through what it means to live out our faith. And these stories in Matthew 13, these parables, tell us a lot about faith. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus sent out his apostles two by two, and he warned them they would face some challenges along the way. In Matthew 11, he encountered places that when he performed miracles, people didn't believe. And so we see Jesus' reaction to those who don't have faith. In Matthew 12, the Pharisees were challenging him and challenging his mission. And so when we get to Matthew 13, it makes sense that Jesus would tell a parable like the one we just read, the parable of the sower that's sowing the word. And he says, not everyone is going to react the way that you'd like them to. In fact, some people call this the parable of parables, because it's a parable that actually tells us how people will respond to the teaching of Jesus. And now that we've read the parable itself, I'd like for us, if you're open to Matthew 13, to go down to verse 18, because Jesus also provides an explanation here. Here's what he says in verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now, I want us to do something that's going to be a little challenging this morning. And that is, I want us to pretend that we're listening to this parable for the first time. That's not always easy. This is one of the more well-known parables in Scripture. Some of the rest in Matthew 13 aren't quite as well-known, but this one is well-known. And so I'd like for us, just for a few minutes, pretend that you've never heard these words before. And pretend that you're there listening to Jesus in a lifestyle that was an agrarian lifestyle. People depended on the land. They depended on sowing and farming and crops. And they understood that when Jesus described a sower going to sow, they didn't have to use their imagination the way we might have to imagine someone who's casting out seed. They knew. Certain times of the year, they could just look out where they lived and see people sowing. They understood what that imagery was like. And as he chooses this common everyday image, he infuses it with deeper meaning. And I want us to consider what this tells us about faith. This morning, there are a couple of very basic principles. In fact, even when he explains this parable, it's not that the parable is hard to understand. It's just challenging to practice. And the first is this. The kind of faith that we want to develop in our lives, the kind of faith that would continually increase, is going to require depth. Faith is going to require depth on our part. If I want to increase my faith, there's got to be a depth of soil that's there. Faith begins with accepting the Word. Jesus already explained that the seed that was being sown is the Word of God. So it begins with this acceptance of the Word, which is the problem with the first kind of soil. The first kind of soil probably isn't what we would think of as soil at all. It's a hard-packed, kind of firm ground that you would walk over. Today, in our time, we might think of it equivalent to something on our driveway. We have a lot of acorns that fall on our driveway, but they don't take root anywhere, at least not yet, because they're not getting into the soil. They're just getting onto our driveway. And so if you have seed that falls on the road, it's likely not going to take root anyway. It doesn't go into the soil. But not only that, there's a reminder here that there's a different level of conflict taking place in our lives than just the physical. Because when Jesus explains what happens when seed falls on this kind of ground, he also reminds us that Satan is at work. He reminds us of the evil one who comes and snatches away what has been sown. You could almost think of the image he paints of birds coming and eating them up. That if you've been in a situation where you've seen birds just sort of gathering around, if there's food on the ground or if there's an animal on the ground, they're just kind of waiting for you to get out of the way. Jesus also just kind of reminds us here, there are spiritual forces at work. When I share the Word of God, that's something spiritual, and that's something powerful. That's something that Satan is working against. I don't know every way that Satan works. I don't think any of us do. But Scripture gives us some pretty clear insights. And one of those is when Paul describes this armor of God to the church at Ephesus. In Ephesians 6:12, he reminds them, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of the darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. In the middle of this parable is a reminder that there is a serious conflict, a spiritual war that's going on. It's not a war where the end result is in doubt. We know who's more powerful. But it's a reminder to us that as we live on this earth, as long as we're here in this realm and sowing the Word of God, there are going to be challenges. And many times those challenges will be provided by Satan. It's a serious reminder for us. And so we have to work to cultivate a kind of depth that goes beyond the surface level. If I want to accept those ancient words, it can't just stay up here. It can't just stay on the surface. I have to invite that Word to form my life. In fact, it's not going to begin unless it does. Faith won't begin unless I accept that Word. When the soil accepts the seed, the Word will do its work. That's why we have such a focus on learning and understanding the Word of God. There is no other way to cultivate our faith. It may be that understanding or studying the Word of God is an area where you'd like to improve this year. At the beginning of the year, we often set aside some resolutions, some things we want to do differently. Maybe that's one of yours. That's the reason we have Bible classes as such an important focus of what we do. Because getting into the Word of God and allowing that Word to change our lives is the only way our faith will grow and be sustained. Maybe this is the year for you to plug into a Bible class. Maybe it's the year for you to say, I'm going to make sure that it's important enough for me, I'm going to reserve time to study God's Word every day. There's something about that that will be life-changing. So this kind of depth begins with accepting the Word. That's where it all starts. If I want to have a deep faith, I have to accept the Word and what it says, but I also have to be sure that I'm cultivating the soil. Because ultimately, if I want a faith that endures over the long haul, I've got to make sure that the soil of my heart is properly cultivated. You see, the second kind of soil that we see, when the seed is sown, it springs up immediately. And I want to be sure we realize that faith should have a response. It's not bad to spring up immediately. It's not bad to react in faith immediately. We see that all through Acts. We see thousands of people in Acts chapter 2 immediately responding in faith. But the question is, what goes on over the long haul? Do you have depth to sustain it? Probably all of us know someone who it seems like every few weeks or every few months is on a bandwagon for a new thing that's going to be life-changing. This is it. I'm going to start doing this now. Maybe it's a change in diet or a change in lifestyle, but every few weeks or months it's, you know, okay, now I'm totally involved in this, or now I'm going to be totally committed to this, and it keeps changing. And maybe we can look at our lives and say, you know, I've been that person more often than I want to admit. That every time I turn around, I'm trying to find something new to organize my life with. That's not the kind of depth that's going to get us through over the long haul. It's going to be the kind of depth that allows us to grow, to deepen our faith, and to grow roots that will extend out and sustain us. A science writer, Hope Jahren, shares an interesting fact about plants and about roots and about how they work. And I like the way she phrases this. She says, the tree's roots can swell and split bedrock and move gallons of water daily for years, much more efficiently than any pump yet invented by man, tear apart everything above ground, everything. And most plants can still grow rebelliously back from just one intact root, more than once, more than twice. If I cultivate the soil of my heart, and if I allow my faith to go just deeper than the surface, not just surface level, but to really take root, then when the sun comes out and things get difficult, I can know there's something there. There's something to that faith. Think about the people in your life who've displayed grace under pressure. Think about the people in your life who've exemplified faith even when things were really difficult and they were facing true challenges. That came because there's a depth, because faith had taken root. Because not only had God's Word been allowed in beyond the surface level, but it had taken root in their lives. And so now their choices were made by feeding on God's Word and not relying on the circumstances around them. And so what happens above them, whether it's the sun shining down, whether it's a challenge they face at work or at home, there's a root system that's in place, that's plugged into God's Word, that's going to keep that faith living and active. And so we think about cultivating that soil to grow a deep faith. Not only that, but we're also careful about the potential thorns that grow up and that choke out our faith. This is the third type of soil, and the challenge that shows up is that there are thorns there. And what's really convicting to me about this passage, maybe the most convicting thing about this whole chapter, is that Jesus doesn't leave us in the dark as to what these thorns are. You know, if all we had was the first 9 verses, we might walk away and say, oh, those thorns, boy, those thorns got them, and I wonder what the thorns are in our life. I guess we'll never really know. Jesus explains what the thorns are. In fact, the words he uses in verse 22 are the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth. Jesus here doesn't let us get away with just a vague notion of things that could choke out our faith and challenge us. He says, here's exactly what it is. Worries of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth. Things that show up today just as they did back then. He says that's what can choke our faith. We do have a year that's just behind us. A year that for you may have been full of just all kinds of mountaintop experiences and joyous things that happened. It may have been a year that was full of some things you'd rather forget and you'd rather not experience again. Is it the case that maybe in the year there were some worries of the world that started to crop up in your life? Some anxieties that started to sort of wrap around your faith and kind of squeeze and make it difficult for you to do what you knew you needed to do, to make it difficult for you to live the kind of life that you want to live. Wouldn't now be a great time to determine not to let those thorns into our lives? To say, when I cultivate my soil of my heart, when I'm thinking about my soul, I'm not going to allow that to squeeze my faith to the point in which it's not growing anymore. I'm going to prune those back. I'm going to cut those out. Or is there, if we're honest, is there part of our life that maybe has bought into some of the deceitfulness that can come with wealth or with prestige or with things that we think we want or that we think will make our lives better? Do I need to make sure that those thorns don't exist in my soul? The beginning of a new year is a great time for a fresh start. It's also a great time for us to do some work on pruning if we need to, on pulling some of these weeds and thorns. It may be that if I want to eliminate thorns in my life, I need to think seriously about what I'm committed to. Bill Smith tells the story of Neil Pryor, who taught for years at Harding University and wrote widely and preached and taught. And one of the little things he would do in class is he would tell the class, especially if they were stressed out by what was happening in the semester, he would tell them that he had an exercise, a very specific exercise, that could relieve all the tension and the stress and the soreness that they had. By that point, he had the students' attention, and so they were all listening, and he said, "Now, just turn your head just as far as you can to the left." And everybody would turn it as far as they could to the left. He said, "Now, turn your head just as far as you can to the right." And they would turn their head to the right, and he said, "Now, whenever someone comes up to you and asks you to join something, just go left and right, over and over again." He said, "That'll relieve every problem you have. Because if you start saying no to some things, all of a sudden, there are other areas of your life that open up." It made the point pretty well. There are times when I have control over whether or not I feel out of control. There are times I have a choice as to what I allow to grow. All of us face pressures that we can't escape, that we can't get out of, that we have to deal with. But aren't there some choices we can make that could eliminate some of these thorns? Faith is going to require this sort of depth. But there's also something else that happens in the parable that's important, and that's that faith bears fruit. Because that fourth kind of soil, the good soil, you have this incredible crop yield. 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And it's not just a story that says, "Wow, look how incredible it is that this good soil grew." It's also an indication that God was the one providing the growth. One of the ways we know that is because all the way back in the book of Genesis, when Isaac is described as being blessed by God in Genesis 26 and verse 12, one of the ways he was blessed is that his crops yielded 100-fold. In other words, that's the kind of yield that doesn't come from someone who's just a good farmer, who just knows what he's doing. That's the kind of yield that only comes from God. What's encouraging to me about this parable is the realization that the growth is not reliant on me. I cultivate the soil. I decide what kind of soil I'm going to be. I decide how I'm going to respond to the Word of God, but God is the one who causes the growth. Paul would put it this way when he wrote to the church at Corinth, that "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." God is the one who's responsible for growth that takes place. He's responsible for this incredible yield of crops. It's also encouraging to me to know that if I have a growing faith, there's going to be fruit that's born there. And that's going to come from God working through me. If I allow His Word to extend below the surface, if I cultivate that depth of soil that allows a deep faith to grow, then God causes growth. Do you know that's true for every aspect of our lives together as a church? Every day that we live together, every day that we work together, one of my prayers for this congregation is that we could reach more people and that we could grow. And I hope that in 2017 we do. I think it's great if we could reach out to others and reach more souls and we could grow, not because we want to be big and powerful and say, "Look at how great we are," but because we want to reach souls. But you know, if growth happens, it won't be because we're so great or talented. It won't be because we came up with a great ministry that is just so awesome, it's accomplished so much, or because we have such talented teachers or people who are reaching out to others. It will be because God is causing the growth. We're sowing the seed. We're cultivating our soil. God gives the growth. And a faith that bears fruit might not always bear fruit in the way you and I might be tempted to think. Sometimes when we think about fruit that's born in our lives, we're thinking about accomplishments that we've done. And so I can tell if I'm bearing fruit if I've accomplished this. But bearing fruit in Scripture seems to be related to who we are. And so when Paul wrote to the church in Galatians 5 about fruit of the Spirit, we don't see a list of accomplishments of things that have been done. We see a list of qualities in life. We see love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control and things that are part of who we are. That's the kind of fruit that will be born in a life that's seeking to be faithful. I'm not looking for a list of accomplishments. I'm looking for the qualities God wants in my life. And so that's going to be one of our goals this year as we think about increase. You see these banners on either side of me in specific areas where we want to increase. And we'll have not only sermons that will be focused on this, but every month we'll have a different specific activity that has a focus of helping us grow in a specific area. And wouldn't it be great if we could look back at the end of this year and say, you know, I really grew in areas. I was challenged in areas. Some of these on this list you might look at and you might say, I'm excited about that. I'll look forward to that month. That's an area I'll really enjoy. Some of these you might think, I don't know about that. That sounds a little bit challenging. All of us are going to be challenged in different ways, but as we all grow together, we're working on qualities of our lives that can grow. And so I hope you'll join us as part of that journey. This month, as we've already mentioned, our classes going with our sermons are going to be the way we focus on growing in our faith. We hope you can not only do that personally, but gain the encouragement that comes from doing it with brothers and sisters in Christ. Another way this year we're seeking to grow is by what we'll be doing on Sunday nights. We've talked a lot about our one-word devotional books that we have, and we've talked a lot about what we'll be doing on Sunday night each week, taking a certain word or concept from Scripture. That starts tonight, by the way, as we think about the concept itself of word or words. And every Sunday night, we're going to be focusing on that specific topic, and then all through the week, with those five devotionals in the devotional book, you can follow up on that. You could have a family devotional for one of those nights, getting the family together and discussing that. You could have some personal time of Bible study. But by the end of the year, our goal is that we will have 53 actually, because we have 53 Sundays in the year, but 53 concepts in Scripture that will be so deeply ingrained in our lives, it will help our faith to grow. But as we think about the depth that's required for faith, and the fruit that is born by faith, we're also left with the challenge of this parable. Ultimately, the decision of whether or not this Word of God is allowed to grow is left up to us. I can only control the environment of my own life. I can only control the soil of my own heart when God's Word comes into it. I can't make a decision for you, and you can't make a decision for me. In fact, one thing we realize quickly is that Jesus, as he goes through and is teaching all kinds of people. And the issue is not Jesus' teaching. There's nothing wrong with what he's saying, but people respond to it in different ways because they're making their own choices. They're making their own decisions. No matter how much I might want to, I can't make a decision for someone else. But I can look at my own life and see whether or not I have the kind of faith that I need. This morning, only you can make the decision to respond to the Word of God. You're the only one who can decide to allow it to go beyond just the surface level, being able to know where books are in the Bible or quote scripture, but actually allowing it to impact your life. Only you can decide you want a deep kind of faith that can endure the challenges. Only you can decide you want to eliminate thorns from your life and allow God to grow that faith through you. That's a decision every one of us has to make. When Jesus begins the parable, a sower went out to sow, he is beginning a story. Every one of us this morning gets to choose how that story ends for us. How is your story going to end? How are you going to respond? Do you need to become a child of God this morning? Do you need to allow the Word of God to penetrate your life and to change your actions, to turn your life around, to put Christ on in baptism? Or do you need to respond in other ways, needing encouragement, wanting to rededicate your life, wanting to ask for prayers? It may be that you'd like to pray with a couple of our elders. After this worship service is over, right out this doorway, there is a conference room where a couple of our elders would love to sit and talk with you and to pray about anything you have on your heart. We want to help in any way we can. How is your story going to end? The beginning of the year would be a great time for the beginning of a new life spiritually. If we can help you in any way, please come as we stand and as we worship together.